Eureka! Eureka! This is Dr. Irvin Alvarado, Dean of the University of Healing here in Capitol, California, with the thought for today, Eureka. What does Eureka mean, the triumph of discovery? It's a story about Archimedes as he discovered a method of determining how to purify gold. Ah, yes. Getting down to the fundamentals, down to the basics, down to who we really are, to purifying gold. Gold is one of our more precious metals. It's a metal that speaks very highly of everything good and beautiful. If you're given a gold something, even platinum, even titanium, even the newer, more exotic metals, don't even hold a candle to gold. Because gold is a symbol. Gold is something wonderful. Ah, yes, Eureka, the triumph of discovery. Within each one of us is gold. Within each one of us is so much gold that we could never imagine. And it's true. It is true. Within our bodies is gold. In all the substance of the universe, all the minerals, all of the things that make up the universe are present. Now, it may not seem like this is possible, or that this is realistic, or this is what is going on, but that's true. That's true. Whatever is in anywhere in the universe is in us. So, we do have gold within us. Now, the gold within us, if we were to mine it, it probably wouldn't amount to much, but it could. It could if we would look at it from the right point of view. If we would look at it from the point of view that within us is good, within us is purity, within us is all that is magnificent and wonderful. Within us is everything that is magnificent, everything that we could ever desire to know, to be, to experience. Yes, within us all that lies, all that dwells. Now, what are we going to do about that? What are we going to do about all of this good that lay deep within our souls, within our beings, not so deep on the surface as well as within? Well, we've been talking a lot about stem cells and how stem cells are born daily throughout our body, which are always waiting to be told what to do. And we think that these are stem cells that are supposed to be told what to do as far as our physical body goes. We tell the stem cells to be an eye, ear, nose, head, whatever, and that they are to be the ideal, the original purity and integrity of what an eye, ear, nose, or whatever is. Now, truly, we have, that's gold. Oh my, yes, that's gold. That stem cell is worth the value of gold. But truly, we can go even further than that. We can go to mining the most wonderful treasure that we could ever find anywhere in the universe, and we find it right within ourselves, and that's our thoughts. Our thoughts are the creative force of the universe. Our thought is that which brings forth that which is. Our thought is that which sort of opens up the illumination from within us of what exists in the universe and what is the reality of all. Now you see, our thoughts sometimes are big and sometimes are little, sometimes they're right and sometimes they're wrong. Oh, our thoughts are never wrong. Our thoughts are sometimes, in our estimation, big or little, but our thoughts are never right and wrong. Our thoughts are and is. Each thought is a reality. Now, we may have a thought that we don't want something, or we may have a thought that we do want something, and both thoughts are and is. Both thoughts are real. Both thoughts are neither good nor bad. They just exist. And it's our choice of which one we want to go after, which one we want to demonstrate in our experience. They're there, free, easy, wonderful, magnificent, just waiting for us to accept them if we want to. Oh, Eureka, we say, when a thought comes to us that is something beautiful. As Einstein might well have said when he came up with the theory of relativity, but he didn't even say it. because he was just in the thought process of thinking physics thoughts, thinking thoughts of how the universe is created, how the universe functions. And it was not a eureka thought to him, it was just an interesting thought. It was just an interesting thought. And because his mind was so in tune with these physics attitudes, because he was so in tune with how the universe was functioning, these thoughts were second nature to him. He had many, many more thoughts that were second nature to him too, but to the rest of the world they were not second nature, and if he had written them down, he would have been the most profound physical scientist of the world. And he'd been, as he certainly is now, even with the few that he wrote down, but if he'd written down them all as they came to him, he'd have been quite busy. And he didn't have all the computer systems that we have today, which make it much easier to do that. But if he had written them down, we would have just been profoundly amused, amazed, and delighted in this outstanding man. And he is not alone. And we look at Shakespeare and we say, how can a man like Shakespeare write all the things that he wrote and have such a tremendous understanding of human nature, being such a tremendous psychologist, a tremendous psychiatrist, a tremendous doctor, a physician, and a politician, and a teacher, a philosopher, in every way. What amazing things he wrote, which indicated the kind of being that was within him. Well, he did what Einstein didn't do. He struck pay dirt in writing, and in writing his plays, and in writing things that he wrote. And he just wrote. And as he wrote, he was like Mozart. He didn't have to have an eraser very much, but he just wrote and wrote and wrote. And he wrote whatever thoughts came to his mind. He perhaps was an astute person, a very much aware of what's going on in the world around him. He understood the politics of his day. He understood the things that were going on in his world. He understood things that didn't even come to pass yet. They came to pass in later years. But such a genius, such a magnificent intelligence. Well, what was he doing? He was merely being aware of his thoughts and writing them down and putting them together as a package, as a story, as a movie, I was going to say, as a theater drama. And as he wrote them down, it was just natural that one idea would follow the other, that one concept would follow the other. How often we are amused and amazed at people like Shakespeare and great writers who write tremendous books, and all by pen, by hand. And they are beautiful books. They are magnificent books. Nobody has to rewrite them or edit them. They are just as they come off the pen. And they're beautiful. Because these people have tuned in to that gold mine within them. And with the sense of eureka, a sense of discovery, they are not amazed at it. They just do it. They just write. You and I, we can develop this same capacity for revealing the genius that's within us too. If we would sit down and write our thoughts and write our ideas, we'd be amazed at what we have within us. We have one student in Switzerland, Christina Nussbaum, most amazing girl. Oh, she lets lots of little things bug her and bother her life, but when she starts writing, she is the most mellow, the most beautiful, the most divine being you could ever want. She just goes for it. Now, she could do this all the time. And when she has any misunderstanding, she could write that down too. And in the process of writing it down, she would have solutions for it. And all of her world would be just the most magnificent world in the world. Yes. And she has created two little creatures that sort of give her a voice and give her the opportunity to say beautiful things that are in her heart, Crackle Cree and Crackle Craw, kind of strange creatures. She created those while she was here on the campus for the School of the Master for 3 solid months, living on campus and meditating and thinking within and developing an inner perspective. Yes, many people need something to give them a goad or a kick or a shove to get them started in doing something beautiful, something magnificent, something wonderful in their world. Now, what is going to be your Eureka experience? What's my Eureka experience? Well, as I began the University of Philosophy, the University of Healing here in Campo, California, I had started it many, many years ago back in Wisconsin. But as the time went along, I allowed myself to be distracted by doing other things. I allowed myself to be distracted from the philosophical thought that was always deep in my soul, in my heart. And the moment I started writing on my philosophy, beautiful things came out. My ideas came out, and many people have found them beneficial and helpful. But for me, they just revealed what's going on inside of me. And what delights me is I see this going on inside of me. There is a consistency in the writing. There is a consistency of beauty and power and goodness. I don't claim to be a Shakespeare, but just as in the same way that Shakespeare let this genius come out, as in any artist would let the genius come out and let it flow, and they do not leave their palette, their typewriter, they do not leave their way of expressing their genius until they have finished it, until they have gathered together all the thoughts that it has to get. It's just like Richard Bach in writing Illusions, that's following Jonathan Livingston Seagull. He said something grabbed him around the neck and said, "I won't let you go until you write me down," because he was satisfied with Jonathan Livingston Seagull, a very satisfying book. But more ideas were clamoring to be heard from his inner consciousness, and he had to write them. Well, would that we had some thing grabbing us by the throat and say, "I won't let you go until you write me down, until you put me down, until you tell my story." Well, Christina is telling her story. Many others are telling their story. But Christina is telling her story in such a mild, modest, delightful way. I'll be running it shortly in our publications because she is just so fantastic. And as she writes these, and as she runs these stories, amazing things happen. Her life is just balanced and harmonious. And as she writes these things, everyone who reads them gains a new perspective on an old story. And isn't this exactly what Eureka is all about? A new perspective on an old story. Gold was always there. And Archimedes came along and he found a way of proving how to purify gold, determining how to purify it so that it could be even more pure than it was. As you know, they heat gold in the beaker, and then the dross, the impurities come to the surface, and they pull these off. But because of their eagerness, they don't want to pull it off too much, because if they do, then they'll have very little gold. And so some of the gold and its impurities is a certain percent of gold. And so when we have an 18% gold or a 10% gold or whatever, we have some pretty interesting things, don't we? Think about this. This is where we are and how we stand. Eureka! I have found it. I have found the way in which I can express the divine in me more beautifully than I ever dreamed before. Have a lovely day, you guys. I love you, I love you, I love you. I do.